KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, co-presenting Mayrig with Art of Elan on January 29th at The Loft. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
You're listening to Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. The subject matter of this podcast is for mature audiences, and there are a few words here and there that could land you in the principal's office, so listener discretion is advised.
We have staff members, if you can just raise your hand. We have safety monitors that are constantly going around just making sure that everybody is okay. As always, number one, first thing we always say is consent. Consent here is key. Just make that first and foremost part of your night, okay?
I consent. What are we talking about? We are talking about an enthusiastic, hell yes, I want to have sex with you. I want to do this scene with you. Yeah, I guess that would be okay. That is a no, all right? So let's keep that in mind. Consent covers everything. Touching another person's person, touching their toys that they happen to have hanging up on a wall, okay? No walking up to somebody that hasn't given you consent to do so and groping them or smacking them on the ass or anything of that nature. No means
no.
Maybe later means
no.
All right. If somebody says maybe later and they mean it, they will find you when it is later. Do not find them. If they have told you maybe another time, 2 to 3 events in a row, go ahead and assume that's a no. All right. They're trying to be nice. Please don't make them have to be mean. All right.
We do have a safe word here. That safe word is Mayday. So if any time you feel like you're in a situation and you need some help, so a staff member, anybody to come and help you get you out of that situation quickly, we will rush over to you, take care of you if you yell out the word Mayday.
Negotiate your scenes in advance. Make sure if somebody changes their mind mid-scene, you accept that. You stop. So here's the deal with consent. Somebody reports to me that you violated consent. I will come up, talk about the situation. Depending on the violation, I may just kick you out right away. If it's a minor-ish, I might speak to the person that felt violated and I will ask them if they want you gone. If they say yes, you're out. If you argue with my staff or myself on any of the rules, you're out. So please, please don't make us have to do that, all right?
Yes, please check in your alcohol. You guys probably already did that. We do have a patio. We don't do allow any drugs here in this facility, but vaping, cigarettes, that kind of stuff, you just need some fresh air. But please make sure you close the door behind you because it's very loud. Please leave the curtains open. This is for your safety and for our own provocative needs to watch you. Please clean up after yourself. That means the spray if you're using the tools and mats and that kind of stuff, but also please change your sheets after you use them. There's new sheets next to the beds and the nightstands. I have a little sign on my back and it says consent for groping. And yes, that means you do not need to ask. Just please touch me throughout the night. I really enjoy that. And then that's it. Everybody have a great time and let me know if you need anything.
That's what you would hear if you went to a party at House of Black here in San Diego. What is House of Black, you ask?
So it's funny because I've always had so many different things that I love about House of Black and what we provide and everything that it's hard to like give it one little name. I think sometimes when I just say it's like, you know, a swing club or something like that, it doesn't encompass everything because we offer so much more than just that.
That's Goddess Faye Black. She has been the owner of House of Black for 9 years and counting.
Basically, House of Black's a venue which caters to adult alternative lifestyles. Things like swinging, or as the new term, LS, is being used a lot now these days. Kink and BDSM dynamics. We're also open to basically all hetero and LGBTQ+ sexual expressions, genders, for both monogamous and ethically non-monogamous relationships. And so for those different dynamics and things like that, we do parties, social events, workshops, discussion groups. We even have just like a game night.
Is this a club where you can just show up and, you know, get in line at the door, pay it, and then get into the party? Or how does that work?
So no, it is a membership club. And basically, we have a membership website that you have to apply on. And that gives us the ability to vet people and make sure that everyone is kind of a good fit for the venue and keep everyone safe. And we want to create a safe, sexy environment for people and make sure that it's just a good vibe, because we are very community based and wanting to be very educational for people. You know, it's not just a party venue. It's definitely a community and a family, so to speak.
House of Black is one of the many places in San Diego that host fun, sexy parties and events for adults only. And I figured play parties where consent, communication, and education are highly regarded felt like the perfect place to end this season's little journey. As I'm sure you know by now, I've been going to classes and finding fun things in the community with the hopes that it'll help you, the listener, feel more comfortable with exploring these things yourself. While on this brief tour, I really took the time to ponder my own ongoing growth as a sexual being and just as a human being. I started thinking about past experiences and relationships that were hurtful and even damaging. I also sat with what I would have done differently in my younger days if I knew then what I know now. And one relationship in particular kept popping up in my head. One where we kept trying and failing and trying and failing. And I realized that it wasn't out of lack of love, but more out of lack of understanding that kept us in this cycle of hurt and frustration. Had we known ourselves better, been able to express our feelings and boundaries more effectively, and really knew how to listen to each other and ask the right questions, maybe we would have had a relationship that flourished. Fortunately, this heavy thought led me to reflect on how much work I have done over the years to repair those wounds and to live a healthier and happier life. And I considered the things that are actually working for me today. In doing so, I drew some connections between the structured and sometimes even scripted communication that you use in therapy and kink play, and the more natural and organic communication of thriving couples. And I wanted to know more about what parts of these communication styles really worked for others in a practical sense. So I asked every happy couple I knew about their thoughts on healthy communication. And for the full scope of things, I asked Femme Dom club owner Goddess Faye Black about her thoughts on the importance of communication in healthy kink play and DS relationships. Stay where you are to find out what they said.
Most plastic doesn't get recycled. It just ends up in the landfill. Instead of trashing it, you can reuse that container by refilling it at Earthwell Refill over and over again. You can refill laundry detergent, dish soap, shampoos and conditioners, even toothpaste. You name it, and Earthwell Refill has it. All natural products that are good for you and our community. At Earthwell Refill, we make it easy to live a more sustainable and eco-friendly lifestyle.
KPBS On Demand is supported by UC San Diego's Art Power, presenting Good Writing, an evening with Anne Lamott and Neil Allen at the Balboa Theater on April 1. Tickets at artpower.ucsd.edu.
Welcome back. This week, we are talking about the value of communication in and out of the bedroom and how anything is possible if it's talked about with honesty and clarity. I was interested in talking with people who feel they effectually communicate in their relationships. I wanted to know how they got there. Was it always so successful, or did they have to work at it? So I spoke with several couples I knew who have been together for decades, and Sunshine and AP were one couple who were willing to go on the record.
So how would you say that your communication has evolved over the years?
Our communication started in a way that had to be very clear and open, because we were both in other relationships when we hooked up. So from the get-go, we were very open and honest.
Because we were friends. It was just a friendly, like, get to know you kind of a situation. Boundaries were set too, because both of us were in relationships at the time.
So you spoke very clearly about your boundaries?
Yes. Yeah. We had to. It wasn't even a choice.
It was
built in by design.
Yeah.
Because of the way everything got started.
Right. Yeah.
Then I asked them if their communication style is different in and out of the bedroom.
It's all the same. Yeah. Like, we're quite boring, really, in that regard.
I think that we can talk to each other like normal. I think that whatever discussions come up these days, I can kind of predict already what she's going to say or how she's going to respond to something, and vice versa. So there's not like these long drawn out type of discussions that need to be said, unless it was something like totally like, oh, this is new. Okay, yeah, let's talk about this.
Yeah, so at this point, I guess we seek more clarity on things. We check in more after 23 years than we do have like full-on discussions about stuff.
Double checking. Like, I just want to make sure.
Things come up very organically for us. Maybe we'll be watching something on TV and something will happen within a relationship there. And we'll just look at each other and say, well, do you feel that way? And then we'll just naturally kind of make a discussion at this point. But early on, we would have sort of like formal discussions, at least about bedroom boundaries.
Yeah.
How are those conversations in the beginning of the relationship? I mean, the sexual relationship, I guess.
Necessary. They were absolutely necessary. Yeah.
How were they?
They were a little bit difficult in terms of, you know, the comfort level to bring up things like, so I know, like, you know, we don't know each other in this way yet. So tell me, what do you like? Or what do you not like? What have you explored in the past? What are you willing to explore, at least with me? But those conversations were not easy. However, I always made sure to initiate those discussions not in the bedroom. Like, that's when we would have actual discussions, you know, to have hopefully a healthy and fun sex life.
Would you say that your discussions were negotiations, or were they just more organic discussions?
A little bit of both. The negotiation aspect was really only in terms of, like, you know, how far are you willing to take things? We didn't really have a need for like really strict rules, because everything sort of came about very organically.
What tips would you give somebody to have a lasting relationship? A healthy one. You guys are happy and solid.
Yes. Actually speak when you feel something is good. Also speak when you feel something is like, I'm not so happy with this. We need to make a change. But all of it.
You have to communicate or ask questions whether you're uncomfortable or they're uncomfortable. Like, I remember in the very beginning where I would just like, I don't know if I want to ask this or not. This is kind of weird, or this is lame, or this is stupid. But, you know, you never know until you ask something or talk about it or whatever. So I think that's a lot of it too. You just have to bite the bullet and have the conversation whether you want to or not. Whether you want to or not. And, you know, the other person can be just as nervous as you are.
You have to put that fear aside and actually open a discussion. And really importantly, the other person needs to be f-ing listening.
Yeah.
Listening. It's not only about talking.
Yeah.
You have to listen and hear. And what we do when we are having a discussion about something is we will actually repeat back to the other person what they're saying in our own interpretation, to know that the other person is actually hearing each other's, you know, ideas or whatever it may be.
Because you don't want anything to get lost in translation. You know, like, I can interpret something way differently than she means, but sometimes I do go back and like, I want to make sure this is what we're, this is what we're saying. You have to confirm.
And then as far as like sex goes, we check in with each other periodically. Like, hey, so this is what we've been doing lately. And this will often happen right after we've had sex. You know, hey, so, you know, like tonight, was that, you know, was that good for you? Did, you know, are you still okay with the way we're doing things now? Or, you know, should we go back to having some circus sex?
Break out the trapeze.
How'd you know I had one?
I know you. I just assume. I actually have a script that I use with couples. And I'll even use the script with not even just couples, but with parents and teenagers and, you know, siblings, where it's exactly what you said. And you go back and forth until somebody says, now you got it.
Now you got it.
You know?
The Imago Dialogue is a key component to Imago relationship therapy developed in the 1970s by Dr. Harvel Hendricks and his wife Helen LaKelly Hunt. It is a script that is used to help couples lower defenses and to, quote, stop talking and start connecting. The people involved are known as the sender and the receiver. The sender starts with a statement like, I feel, I need, I want. Then they go through the three steps of the script together. The three steps are mirroring, validation, and empathy. In the mirroring stage, the receiver says, what I heard you say, and then repeats back what they heard word for word, without judgment or criticism. And then they ask, did I get that, or is there more? If the sender says, yeah, you got that, then they move on to validation. In validation, the receiver lets the sender know that they can make sense of what they said. They may say something like, it makes sense to me that when I said I didn't like your shoes, you felt criticized. Then they move on to empathy. The receiver shares what they think the sender is feeling, which could sound like, I imagine when this happens, you feel hurt and like I'm saying I don't like the way you look. Did I get that? Is that what you felt? Then the sender says either, yes, you got it, or no, actually, that's not how I felt, and clarifies how they actually felt. The two go back and forth until the sender feels like the receiver understands what they are saying. Then they switch roles. Of course, there's a lot more to this therapy than just the dialogue, but this script has been used in many other modalities of therapy and often in pre-marriage coaching in churches and synagogues. There are many versions of this script online that anyone can use at home, but I recommend doing it with someone like a therapist who can help you keep on script, especially if you've never done it before. Now back to the girls.
We'll sometimes have to go, you know, rephrase things a couple of times to just make sure that we're each understanding exactly what's happening.
Yeah, we do that kind of a lot, even with like everyday conversation.
Yeah.
Or you might tell me something and I'm like super confused and I'm like, just repeat that and tell me again. And then I'm like, this is what I'm hearing you want me to do.
We don't fight, you know.
And we don't
always agree on everything, but we don't fight. Yeah, we don't yell at each other. We don't call each other names. We don't like.
I mean, you know.
I mean, other than joking, like you call me weenie all the time.
No, sometimes we do get mad, like frustrated or angry with each other.
Like I said, frustrated and angry, but we don't fight.
Yeah,
like,
I'm not gonna.
People scream and yell and slam doors and leave. Yeah. And in 23 years, we've never once broken up, which I think is hugely significant.
I would call that a successful relationship.
Yeah, me too.
And in seeing you guys too, you genuinely enjoy being with each other. I would say we all should be so lucky, but it doesn't sound like it was just luck. It sounds like the two of you really figured out how to be open and honest and work on things.
It's just ongoing. Yeah, growth. That's a good word for it.
It's just growth because neither one of us are the same people that we were when we first got together. Like we're both totally different people. But
yes.
the key, I guess the key was because we had such a good foundation, such a good friendship that we were able to still keep the communication going, like as friends. I guess we just sort of grew up together in that way. Yes, I like who she was when we first got together, but I also like who she is now. Like, I'm not mourning over the person that she was, or I don't think you're necessarily mourning my youth either. But you have to be willing to accept that change is inevitable and it's going to happen. Nothing's stagnant, right? Everything changes.
Everything
people
is
changes, relationships changes, the way you're thinking changes, and either you're going to go with it or you're not. We don't have to be together all the time. Like, I like doing things by myself or with other people and need a night by myself.
And
without you.
the lack of jealousy within that aspect is absolute key. If one person is jealous and the other person wants to go do something, the other person is going to be inhibitive about that. That, I would imagine, would cause a lot of strife in a relationship.
So there's lots of trust.
Lots of trust. Oh, it's 100% trust.
Yeah.
And go to a lot of concerts. That you know what? There's the key to a happy relationship. Go to a ton of concerts. And if you go to a lot of concerts,
it's not the key.
It is too. See, now we're going to get into an argument because that is so true.
When we come back, I get Goddess Faye Black's perspective on how important honest dialogue is to an alternative lifestyle.
How does AI even work? Where does creativity come from? What's the secret to living longer? TED Radio Hour explores the biggest questions with some of the world's greatest thinkers. They will surprise, challenge, and even change you. Listen to NPR's TED Radio Hour wherever you get your podcasts.
On this last episode of Season 2 of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly, I'm reflecting on personal growth over the years and what I've learned this season. And I'm talking with folks about the evolution of healthy communication in a relationship. At the start of the show, you heard the house rules before a party at House of Black, a venue dedicated to play, education, and fun, sexy times with consenting adults. I had the pleasure of talking with the owner about how she started on her path and the role education and asking questions has in exploring sexuality and play with others.
So how long have you been in the lifestyle?
I have been in the lifestyle about 15 years now. I got in, I was married before, and I got in with him. Basically, he had brought up that he had some fetishes that he wanted to try. He tried to dominate me initially, and I was like, what are you doing? And it was just a different time in my life. I was, you know, early 20s, and I had been kind of, I don't know, submissive, so to speak, with like my whole growing up and everything. And I was kind of in this early 20s of like, I wanted to embrace the power that I did have kind of thing. He was like, well, why don't you do stuff to me? And I was like, oh, heck yes, that sounds great. Let's do that. And so I started exploring female domination and loved it, loved every part of it and everything like that. And now I'm a little bit, I consider myself a switch. Switching means I will be either top or bottom, dominant or submissive. I'm very particular who I switch with, and I don't necessarily consider myself submissive, but I can play the role. But yeah, so then just over that time period, I took a lot of classes. I read a lot of books. There's different conventions that they have, BDSM and kink conventions. They always have lots of different classes on all sorts of subjects. And but yeah, and then I did, there was a female domination, like intensive weekend thing that I did when I first started as well, which covered a whole bunch of topics from very basic of like what negotiation looks like to a little bit of rope, a little bit of impact, a little bit of what, you know, humiliation and degradation might look like. And that intensive was taught by Midori, who's an expert in Shibari as well. My whole journey was get as much education as possible going into it. And then over the years, you know, I ended up getting a divorce, and I also started exploring my bisexuality and playing with women. And so I've kind of been on all over the gamut with those kinds of things. But I think the starting in BDSM really helped me develop my communication styles with everyone and being able to understand more of the things that I desired and wanted and how to communicate those effectively.
Negotiation. You're going to hear this word a lot, and we all know what it means in general, but in kink and other play, a negotiation is a discussion about the boundaries of a scene. This is a very important interaction between the people involved that happens before anything starts. All parties come to the negotiation with an equal say in what their needs, wants, flexible and inflexible limits are. These are also known as hard and soft limits. The goal is to come to an agreement about what will and will not happen in the scene and to build trust. Things that are discussed usually include, but are not limited to, identifying a safe word or signal that means end scene, full stop. A safe word is used when a physical or psychological limit has been hit and the person needs the scene to end immediately, no questions asked. An action such as raising your hand or wiggling your fingers could be established in addition to a word, since there are many situations where a word may not be heard due to the loudness of the venue, being face down, or having something in your mouth. In any play situation, it is important that all people involved feel safe and empowered to use their safe word if they need to, no matter what their position or role is in the scene, and that they are always free to stop and leave an uncomfortable or unsafe situation. Other language typically established in a negotiation include words or phrases that mean pull back or that's getting close to my limit. Yellow and red are commonly used for this. but anything works as long as it is discussed and agreed upon beforehand. Questions should be asked about places on the body that are off limits, physical limitations such as, I can't be on my knees for long, or this one shoulder does something funny. What toys can or cannot be used? If penetration is allowed? If so, where and by what? Is kissing welcome? If so, where and how? Is it okay to leave marks on the body, such as red marks, bruises, etc.? What is the feeling you are hoping to experience? Is there anywhere you really want to be touched or sensation you want involved? And many, many more questions. When ending the negotiation, you should feel safe, ready for a good time, and like your play partner thoroughly understands your wants, needs, and limitations. Formal training and learning how to negotiate. How did that change things for you?
I feel like just negotiating itself has such a great structure to it. There's, you know, key questions that you ask to be able to cover both mental and physical wellness when you're going to go in and play with someone. And the structure of it just really helps you be able to cover every little bit of it and not go in with this anxiety of like, am I doing this right? Am I doing the right thing for the other person? Am I giving them enough? Am I not giving them, you know, what they want? That kind of thing. Plus, it also gives the boundaries of, okay, what someone's limits might be, or what your limits might be, and being able to talk about that before you actually get into the play, where sometimes when you're in the play and it's exciting and you might trip over something that you didn't know you were going to trip over, or something like that. So like in a negotiation, you might ask, is there anything that you don't want me to touch? Or is there like a hard limit about anything that you might know that you have? And it could be as simple as someone doesn't like their feet tickled, right? And you might not know that if you didn't do the negotiation beforehand, you might not know that. You might be having this fun, sexy moment and then tickle someone's feet, and then they're just like, nope, I'm done. Like, and it's ruined everything, right? So if you've already talked about that beforehand, you won't trip over that. And I've been told by, it's mostly an older generation thing, I feel like I've picked up, that I've been told that it takes some of the sexy out of it. I'm like, no, it doesn't. Not for me. It makes me feel much more like ready for the experience, and like, you can do it in a way that is still sexy, you know, and asking the questions in flirtatious ways and stuff like that. But for me, I do like instruction. And I feel like it gives me less anxiety if I actually know what I'm getting into. It's just safer. And because there is so much anxiety that can pop into people's heads in such an intimate way. And so I think that really trickles down into everything in a relationship. If you're able to communicate and talk about all the different things, you are less likely to trip over a misunderstanding of some sort, or make a mistake in a way that you didn't mean to. Like, just having clear, direct communication with someone establishes a good baseline of understanding, like mutual understanding between you. It can also create more fun opportunities that you wouldn't have known if you didn't ask ahead of time. And also just knowing what you want and understanding yourself more and being able to communicate that to someone else. And let's negotiate back and forth on it like we did in a scene.
What I'm hearing is if you want to have really risk-aware and fun experiences with people, you set the bar high on the communication. What I'm curious about is the transition from not communicating that way and then starting to go, oh, I can use these negotiations I used in the bedroom for our relationship outside of the bedroom. Like, what did that evolution look like for you?
It's funny for me because I feel like at this point, because I started this so early, like in my early 20s, that my brain was still developing all that at that point. And so now it almost feels like how I think. It's just what I, you know, what I do and everything. So it's funny to try to break it down. To me, it's almost like basic communication, but it is true that it's not, right? Like, people don't ask all the questions. I feel like I've been able to take some of these concepts too, to learn more about other people in whatever their walk of life is and everything, because I have these kind of structured concepts of like asking people about themselves. I think that's another thing, is we tend to not really ask a lot about other people. Now I'm much more inclined to ask other people like what they're into, what they like, what they don't like, all the, you know, those kinds of things, just to get to know someone even more. I think it helps me become less shy because I had a more of a structure to go by. That has translated into even like with my now current husband. When I first met him, he was totally new to the lifestyle. And it was, you know, learning to go as the slowest person goes kind of thing. So like him learning about what the community looks like and what different play looks like and what like being ethically non-monogamous looks like and that kind of stuff. Cause he had come from like a full, like 18 years of a monogamous marriage kind of thing. And while very interested in everything, he was totally brand new. So like me already having the knowledge that I did with basically learning about someone and like giving them space to learn about themselves, really helped our relationship because I was able to kind of give him the opportunity to slowly learn. And I feel like it helped us be able to get through some of the like more nitty gritty things of ethical non-monogamy, where it's like you get those, you know, you might have jealousy feelings or like something's just making you uncomfortable and you don't know, and being able to dig a little bit further into what that looks like for him, and being able to ask him those questions and be able to already kind of have the knowledge about myself and how to communicate what I had learned gave us a really good way to communicate with each other. And I could give him like the direction of like, okay, well, these are the things that maybe you should research on your own, or like figure out, you know, take a class or go to, you know, a therapist and stuff, which there are plenty of kink friendly therapists that are coming out of the woodworks now, which is really, really nice.
Whenever I see a negotiation, the first thing that pops in my head is these people are practicing how to talk about their needs, their feelings, and how to relate to each other. And it's just so much practice that in general, we don't get as a society.
It really is true. It taught me how to communicate. Like if you don't do the negotiations, if you don't ask the questions, if you don't communicate those things, you can really get in trouble. You can really get yourself hurt. That's also why I just really push the education point. You may want to come in and you are all excited to like do all the things, but it's smart to really learn and observe and watch before you do all the things. There are all ages that come into this too. You can learn these concepts at any time and translate them into the rest of your life, and your relationships will just be better for it.
It's another example of underground alternative lifestyles becoming more mainstream and actually making the mainstream better for it. I think of like once the blues became more mainstream, it just made all other music better, you know?
Definitely.
Well, Faye, thank you so much for your time.
Thanks for thinking of me and wanting to do this. This was really fun. And I love being able to put this more in our mainstream. So
yeah. Anything you want people to know about House of Black?
You can find House of Black at houseofblack.com. And we also have different social media profiles on Cassidy and FetLife. And it would just be looking for House of Black, SD. And then our Instagram and Twitter is also House of Black, SD.
Sure, context really matters in how you engage with people or what communication style you use. But after talking with Faye and several happy couples, I noticed common themes emerge. Know yourself well enough to know what your wants, needs, and boundaries are. Be brave in telling others what they are and what you need from them. Put your ego aside long enough to listen without judgment and with the goal of truly understanding where the other person is coming from. And make space to talk things out. These seem to be the keys to building the all-important trust that is needed to feel free and safe to explore and try new things, whether it's with a new partner or one you've been with for most of your life. Thanks for listening to this season of Everybody's Doing It with Miss Lolly. I hope you learned a thing or two and feel more confident in trying new things. I have to say, I felt pretty brave this season, especially in that burlesque dance class. Ooh, I am not a good dancer. This episode is dedicated to Wes Johnston.
if I knew then what I know now. May you rest in peace, friend. Special thanks to Amanda Gardner of Ceramic Heights for all your help and advice. This season might be over, but I still expect brunches at Ken Cafe. If you have any ideas for the show or know people you think we should talk with, find us on Instagram at BadForMedia and let us know. All episodes are created by your host, Miss Lolly, for BadForMedia. Our executive producer is Parker Edison for Meridian Arts. Edgar Almanar is our fantastic editor, and our sound engineer is Luke Henshaw of Penguin Studios. Technical and operational support provided by KPBS technical producer and sound designer Adrian Villalobos and KPBS producer Julio Ortiz Franco. Lisa Jane Morissette is KPBS Director of Audio Programming and Operations. You can subscribe and find us on Apple, Spotify, or wherever you get your podcasts. This programming is made possible in part by the KPBS Explore Content Fund. And now something I thought was funny.
You know, we did have some, you know, BDSM conversations in terms of boundaries in that regard. Lucky for me, she was willing to be exploratory and, I mean, just about anything that I was open to, you know, and again, you know, it pretty much anything short of anal. No ass play in this household. And again, we will on occasion, very rare occasion, but we might check in and say, yeah, I'm still not into anal. How about you? Oh God. Ew, no. Ew, ew.
Figuring out the right sport for your kid can feel overwhelming. I'm taking that journey with my son, Dorian, exploring different sports and revisiting the fields that I grew up playing. Together, we're searching for the right fit and maybe reconnecting with a few old memories along the way. It's Game Time Decision, a new series from KPBS. Join us at kpbs.org/gametime.